Start your day with Triple M Breakfast and start your health journey with NIB. Visit nib.com.au.
All right, here we go. Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
Live from the top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple M
Breakfast. Hello, welcome to the Friday podcast.
Thank you.
It's currently 9:02, so let's get out of here.
Yep.
We're already 2 minutes into overtime and Triple M can't afford us.
Double time and a half.
This is podcast-only content, so well done. We're getting this from the Triple M burner phone, 0484101045. Text us anytime. Text us across the weekend. What do we got?
Oh, Jesus. I've just read this one. Stephen from Logan Home. I asked a quick question today. We were talking about what was Triple M's frequency in the 1980s?
The original frequency, which was 104.1.
One.
It's currently now 104.5. And you said, what were they originally called?
I
was
speculated
it
4IP?
No, 4IP.
4 Ipswich. It was the Ipswich radio station.
Was it?
And then it was in AM and then it became Stereo 10. And I speculated that Triple M took over them. What does that say? What's Steve saying?
Well, Steve from Logan Home wanted to let you know, Marty's got a history lesson of Triple M for you. 4 Triple M was a new station that started on the 22nd of August, 1980.
Put that 22nd of August down. We'll have that. They had a little birthday this year.
Some 4IP announcers went over to 4 Triple M.
Righto.
4IP remained on air in the 80s and then changed to Stereo 10. Then Light and Easy, 1008. Then back to 4IP. Then it got sold to the TAB back in 1991.
Well,
and
that's
then
how
they
you
closed
to the races.
4-1P down.
10.08 is 4TAB now.
So in 17 days, we'll be 42 years old. 22nd of August,
1980. 21st. It's our second 21st.
Shit. 42, the meaning of life, the universe,
that's
everything.
Right, everything.
4 and 2 is 6. Oh, my gosh, it's a great number in the Zodiac.
What is that? It's Kiwi for sex.
Is it?
Well, sucks.
Tracy from Coomera, right?
I don't know if we can.
Margo,
I don't know if we can discuss this one.
Well, I haven't read it, so I'll give it a go.
The person that she's talking about is a fairly large client of ours. They spend a lot of money here.
Don't say the name then.
No, let's just go to Aaron.
Let's move on.
Aaron from Jimboomba writes, any tips on how to ditch the kids and wife at the Ecker so I can go to the Cattleman's Bar for a beer without looking like a deadbeat dad?
Marto, there was suggestions that you do a Dad's at the Ecker pub crawl where you just go around to all of the bars.
I'm in.
Why don't you do that? I reckon that's a great idea. I'm putting you on the spot here. I'm sorry.
No, next Thursday.
So now you hate the Ecker.
What, anything on next Thursday? Thursday, I'm happy to meet there like at 4 or something or other.
Yeah.
Because I worked at all, there used to be 7 bars.
You've done,
there was the dog
you've done
bar.
Them all.
Yeah, I used to work at them.
Cattleman's or Stockman, what's it called?
There's a Stockman's bar and a Cattleman's bar and there's a dog bar and there's a, well, it's squeezed.
You want to go third? Do you want to go Tuesday? Because then you can sleep it off on Wednesday with the holiday.
Oh, we're not working Wednesday.
Correct.
Right, I can take the mums and the kids with me and do the Ecker while Marto takes all the dads to the bars. Maybe we could do that.
It's not hard, Aaron. Well, let's put it down for Tuesday. We'll just invent it on Tuesday. But Aaron from Jimboomba wants a tip now. The thing is, you can lose your family in amongst the crowds quite easily.
Holy shit, hang on.
Over there.
This year. Put a mask on. I can't identify
it. Oh, my God.
Wear a hat, glasses,
and a mask. And drift through the crowd.
No one
You'll get 2 to 3 rums into you before
Sorry,
they
darling,
find you.
I can't find you. Where are you?
Yeah. I don't know where I am.
I'm looking. I can't see you.
Cut a slit in the mask so you can get a straw in there so you don't have to pull it down to drink. So that'll get you another rum before you get identified.
All right.
It could be like a version of the masked singer, except like the masked deadbeat dad.
The masked drinker.
Women and children can't get into that Cattleman's bars. You can't push through all the beer guts. They have got the biggest guts. You have a look at the Cattleman's Bar. Like, they're as bigger than some of their cattle. Yeah. Those blokes. Yeah. Anyway.
Others.
Good luck, Aaron.
All right.
Good luck, everyone.
Enjoy the potty.
And God bless.
Triple M Breakfast's sealed section.
Yeah, I'm bringing to you a story from Daily Mail, so I'm not 100% sure that it's been fact-checked.
Can I just, if there's any little kiddies...
Hence the sealed section.
Yes. Yeah,
just be careful.
Close their ears.
Adult themes.
Under what shouldn't be listening to this segment? 15?
I'm going to say anyone male too, because it's very triggering.
Oh, we can't get rid of all.
Well, that's our audience. Yeah.
But just be aware, blokes. Be aware. Mm. You're going to get some sympathy pains.
A man has been left with a purple penis that resembles an eggplant after fracturing his member during vigorous sex with his wife.
Okay, you're just going to leave it there?
There's a few fact checks there.
Can you go through that slowly? You launched on us quite quickly there.
A man has been left with a purple penis.
A bruised penis.
That resembles an eggplant. Here's the real-life eggplant emoji because nobody uses it for the eggplant.
No one's eaten an aubergine.
No one's eating an aubergine. After he fractured his member during vigorous sex with his wife.
Is it with his wife? With his wife?
Who's having vigorous sex with their wife?
Are they on their honeymoon?
Fat check.
Hold on. Are they honeymoon? Was there any... Now, reverse cowgirl?
He was 50.
Like a rhinestone.
Stop that.
Unnecessary.
No, I remember...
50-year-old man.
This is true. These things happen.
Yeah. A 50-year-old man has fractured his penis. Doctors have revealed the unidentified man who attended hospital on his own complained that his penis had been swollen for 4 hours.
Can I make sure we stay above board here? During an erection, the penis is engorged with blood that fills two cylinders. If an engorged penis is bent suddenly or forcefully, the trauma can rupture the outer lining of one of the two cylinders. Rupture. This can result in a penis fracture.
I don't have one and mine's sore. He had been having sex with his wife when he felt his penis crack, causing him to immediately lose his erection and start bleeding.
I remember this about 5 or 6 years ago. A mate of mine it happened to, and I said, "Well, he just finished his new girlfriend because he just broken up with his wife."
That's vigorous.
New girlfriend,
he was putting on a show.
Young girl from the from his workplace. So I'm getting stuck into it. Broken penis.
Oh my god!
And then I started talking about it on radio. I didn't mention his name, Marty. Ken. Now it's 5 years ago.
Shiggle.
No. Very good though. Then we had a urologist rang. And he started telling us all the technical ways, and he said reverse. Is it cowboy or cowgirl?
Well, it depends who's on top. But,
normally girl.
Depends
on the arrangement.
That's the most typical way. And then we asked people to ring in. This is 5 or 6 years ago, and there was a few young men who had broken their dick.
Happened to a mate of mine. He missed, so vigorous, missed, and then hit the side of the pelvis, and then, you know, the snap.
That's what they're saying here.
Are you looking for call?
Perineum. Or the pubic bone, if it hits that can... Perineum. That's the one you massage.
Listen, do you want people to ring?
133353.
Tell us.
Penile fractures.
Broken dicks.
Broken dick.
What he said. When did you break your dick? That sounds awful, doesn't it?
I have something ready
to
go.
When did you hurt your member?
Snap your cock. Yeah, 133353.
Wayne from Narangba, welcome to the sealed section here on Triple M's Breakfast.
Be careful.
Penile fractures. Remember, we are on air.
Yep. 2007, I got intimate with my partner on a table and ended up with a penile fracture.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you what. Going in with the nurses, going into the emergency, not a problem. Sort of, I've gone into the triage, said I have a problem. I said, can I have a look? So I did, and they've gone, straight in. Next thing you know, because it's like a lot of trainee doctors at the hospital.
Yeah. Did they carry professionals, Wayne, or did some of them get the giggles?
Oh, mate, I had six at a time coming and want to have a look.
Having a look.
It's rare, but it does happen, you know.
Sticky beaks.
That's what, because when they do trainee doctors, they need to show them this is a penile fracture. Because how many do they have through a year, did they say, Wayne?
Oh, mate, I'm not sure, but it's just rare, but it does happen, yeah.
Was it the first and last time ever, Wayne, for you?
Yes, definitely.
Conscious of not doing that again.
Wayne, my mate said it took him 2 to 3 months to get back on the horse. How did you go?
Well, wasn't supposed to do nothing with it for about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Couldn't help yourself.
Rehab.
Stop it.
I waited 7 days to actually give it a crack oxygen and everything. But,
wow. And how did that go 7 days later?
It still worked, so it was a bit of a relief, you know?
Oh, any PTSD, Wayne, you know, after that, like when you went to use it, was there, you know, some PTSD of what, like the memories, the flashbacks?
Yeah, exactly. So it's more mental mental sort of getting back into it.
Yeah, it's PTSD.
And worrying about it, so that become very,
Wayne,
very hard.
I've got lots of stitches, knees and eyes and face and hand and stuff. And yeah, I've got stitches everywhere. Not a mild fella. So what about, do you ever pull it out and go to people, shark on it? Like, how do you explain
shark
it?
Shark rip it out.
Wow. Actually, I had a friend take me to a pub about a week after it happened, and there was the barmaids on, special barmaids.
Our content director has just walked into shot outside the studio here. He's just checking.
Yeah. Just monitoring.
Having mates tell these girls if he's getting excited, he's going to be crying.
Yeah.
It never happened.
He's got PTSD. It's post-traumatic
Wayne,
snap dick.
What a fabulous story.
That's for our boss there. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
Shane wants to chat to you about his broken...
Wayne and Shane. Has your name got a rhyme? Hello, mate.
How are you?
Yeah, Shane, you always seem to be enjoying yourself.
I don't have one, but no. I'm feeling weird down there for all of you men out there. This sounds awful.
Some people have lost skin off them, but geez, when you get a fracture...
I believe they call
Shane,
it.
Shane, was it a fracture?
No, this one's slightly different tangent, but I had to ring. It was an oldies rugby league game, and one of the guys dislocated his hip. So they've all decided they would hold him down and pop it back in.
Ooh. Oh!
But while he was on his side, one of his testicles has popped into the socket.
Yes.
They
put his nut into his hip.
Into the hip socket.
Yes.
I didn't go to medical school, but I don't think that's where
that
belongs.
That's where it's supposed to be.
It's the wrong couch.
Shane, what happened?
That's all I know.
Did he lose it?
They had to dislocate it to get it back out again. That's all I know.
Pull his hip out to retrieve his ball.
We might need to bring this back tomorrow and do nut-based injuries.
Where'd your ball end up?
Testicle injuries.
It's Saturday tomorrow, so it's hopefully
we'll We worked with a guy, Marto, who used to work behind the desk. Remember, he only had one ball?
Lance
he had
Armstrong.
A silicone. I'm not going to name him.
Oh, no, that was cancer, though.
Was it cancer?
Yeah, that was cancer.
I just thought...
A lot of Tommy Radonikis only had one nut.
Mm.
Did he lose his nut, Shane?
He doesn't remember.
I don't know.
No, it's still in his hip.
Still there. Nice. Just sort of memento.
In his hip pocket.
It's as easy as 50-50. Or head to tails. Triple M breakfasts. This or that.
You know who wants you to win properly? Kevin Brackenridge, mate.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, Margo.
Get Big Kev excited because we're going to win today.
Oh, definitely.
Give me an I'm excited, Kev.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
If he has his funky shirt on, he really is Big Kev.
You got a funky shirt on? Joel from Westlake, good morning.
G'day, Joel. Hey, Joel.
Morning.
Yeah, rest easy, mate. Prize is coming your way.
He's a low-key operator, Joel.
Yeah. Get the pre-match prep now. Is it the Lions?
It's Lions. V-Cup. 11 points overall to you, Marto.
Yeah.
Margo's been stranded on 8 for some
back.
Time.
It's
but it's her go first today. It's Triple M's this or that. I will give you two options. You have first crack here, Margo. You lock one in. Marto gets the other. And we'll
see. Is there a theme or just general? Just random?
Just Friday fun.
Friday.
Okay, first to three will win. If we need a tiebreaker, we'll get to that. Margo Parker, which club has more Instagram followers, the Sydney Roosters or...
Instagram.
Broncos.
I'll go Roosters then.
You have to. Roosters have 221,000 Instagram followers. The Broncos, Margo, 336,000.
No,
one's it. Marta, what happened first? Donald Trump being sworn in as President of the United States of America. Do you remember him?
I average probably about 4 or 5 stories a day on the front page. Someday they're going to give me a good one. Watch.
God, I love him.
That's 2017, I reckon.
Or the release of Seth Rogen's comedy Sausage Party.
What happened first?
That's what happens at Morton at Marmo's place when he goes on a fishing trip with all his mates.
Yeah, he's going to have a Dagwood dog party this weekend for the echo.
The crime.
Sausage.
Now, listen, what happened first?
Yeah.
I've never heard of Sausage Fest. Sausage Forest.
Sausage Fest is your festival you have in November.
Oh, I'm going to go that one then.
You go Sausage Fest?
Well, I'm saying Donald Trump. Yeah, that sounds like it was like 2015 or so.
Yeah, it's 2016. Yeah. So one apiece.
Was Trump 17?
He will voted in 16, inaugurated.
Yeah, January or February 2017.
Yeah.
You've confused me. What was the actual question?
Who cares?
What came first?
It's one apiece.
Okay.
Seth Rogen.
Margo, is this the title of a sports biography or an adult film? Wonderful work, producer Snowy. Touching the Void.
Sports biography.
correct. I would agree, but it's I've got to go the other one, haven't I?
Yeah, well, Margo has taken sports bio, touching the void. Sports bio. It's about mountain climbers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Frozen on the mountain.
It's something to do with Everest, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, 2-1.
2-1.
Marto, over to you.
Decisive.
Baby John Burgess.
Babyface.
Come on down.
The sale of the century?
No.
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune.
That's
Wheel of
Price. Right.
Number one, Wheelie. Tony was
Wheelie. Number one, Wheelie. Alive or dead?
I saw him at the Burswood Casino one night about 4 years ago.
Was he
hosting
dead?
Some dodgy event.
Weekend at Bernie so style?
Was he propped up on a pokey?
No,
dead?
But the face had been he'd had some sort of facelift that made him look like a very ill raccoon. Alive.
Correct. It's
two all,
so it's a tiebreaker.
So it's just a matter of whoever gets in first. With your name?
No, just yell out the answer. I just want the answer. You just grab an answer.
Okay.
All right. What weighs more? A 20-cent coin or a $1 coin?
Margo, $1 coin.
Yeah, you just yell out the answer. Yeah, perfect.
$1 coin.
I'll take 20.
You have to.
20's bigger, but gold weighs more than silver. I don't know.
Yeah, you're saying a $1 coin weighs more than a 20-cent coin, Margo Parker. A 20-cent coin weighs 11.3 grams.
Yeah.
A $1 coin weighs 9 grams.
No!
You're a winner, Joel. We're all winners. We are winners.
You'll be able to.
I know, mate. Enjoy the footy.
That's
beautiful. Thank you very, very much.
Should turn the microphone
manipulation.
On.
Manipulation.
Brisbane Lions will come. The overall score is now 12 to Marto, 8 to Margo. She's stormed out. We got a storm out.
Come on.
Oh,
come
no. On.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Talking Caxton Street, there was a story on last night, just came out of nowhere. And where are we? The top of Caxton Street. So if you travelled out of Suncorp Stadium, headed up Caxton Street, we're in the building right at the end.
Petrie Terrace.
The barracks.
The barracks. Right at the end. So I travel down Caxton Street every day to go home. There was a story last night, and I liked it a lot, that the bloke, Mark, I think his name is, owns the LA Hotel.
Okay? The Lord Alfred.
Lord Alfred. What are they calling it now? Is it LA?
The Lord Alfred.
Back to the Lord Alfred.
It used to be Hotel LA,
yeah,
and
right.
The Lime and Soda Bar was upstairs, but now it's the Lord Alfred. It's a very classy establishment. They've done a beautiful renovation there.
I've been underneath there. There's a tunnel running under that pub, underneath Petrie Terrace across to the barracks, the police barracks. They used to, that's where they arrest people and take them for some reason. You ask them one night, see if you can go in the tunnel.
Sounds like a bit of prohibition fun too.
Anyway.
Smuggle it in.
Like, how do we get in and out of here? That's beside the point, because the guy there, Mark, was saying, well, he wants them to close Caxton Street, and I like this, to traffic.
Peter, the big point for us is we want to see Caxton Street integrated into the rest of the Brisbane CBD.
They want to make it part of rather than an appendage.
They close it off, though, for
Origin.
Events.
Broncos games,
the soccer, the rugby.
Test matches. If it's a big event, they'll close the street off. And how good is it?
So what do they want to do? Do
all
it permanently?
Well, you don't need, there's no need. And I'm saying to you, I can go home that way, but I can go home otherwise, so I don't really need it. No one needs to be driving up and down Caxton Street.
Now, there are houses up there to a certain point.
So you know
those old kind of party houses there that are kind of a bit rickety.
The one used to have a grandstand out the front.
There were couches out the front there, I remember, in the early 2000s. So you need to go, they need a driveway. So you go
so
up to the last house.
So it would be pretty much from
Caxton Hotel, maybe.
The Caxton Hotel, the other side of their driveway.
Closed
so they've got
off.
That car park.
Pedestrians only.
And then from there up.
Pave it in, put seating in it maybe.
Pave it in.
You know.
So like the Brunswick Street Mall?
Yeah.
How that's all paved over and
it's
a walking thoroughfare.
Queen Street Mall.
It could be beautiful because at the moment, and you ask,
you know the
Gambara boys, the Farquhars who own the
Excuse
Caxton,
me?
The Farquhars who own Caxton.
Ross and Steve
the
Farquhar.
Boys,
mm-hmm.
They only really get a crowd or get anyone in there on event days, which is about 40 times a year. Broncos, Origin.
Well, there's not a lot of
soccer.
Other businesses that require foot traffic.
Well, that's why Caxton, these guys, I think they're all joined together, all those businesses, and going, let's make it a place where people can just come to, not just to, on their as a transit area to get to Suncorp
Stadium.
They
can put more cafes and eateries
seating,
and clothing stores.
Right. Do you want to do one of these? We've got a bit of time.
Who would it affect if they close down Caxton Street to cars? Mm. Who uses that street? Who does it inconvenience?
Me going to McDonald's to get an iced latte after work.
But you can go down that along the railway line.
I'm happy to cop it on the chin. I'm a hero.
133353. I don't know if anyone else gives a stuff. It might just be that we work here and operate around here. But everyone's
but
been
people
in
that
Caxton
live in and
street.
Around Paddington, Ashgrove, Red Hill. How do they get to the inner city bypass? How do they get to
they
the five ways?
Waterworks Road or along Milton Road? Either Milton or Waterworks Road. They don't need to be coming up Caxton Street.
Doing a temperature check right now. 133353. We'd love to hear from you. Or the burner phone. 0484 101045. Caxton Street. Should we turn it into a pedestrian area, sort of a social gathering spot?
No cars. They're just talking about a mall. Caxton would be quite good. They want to be tied in more to the city area. And we said, what do you reckon? And
first,
Beth,
you hear those little guitar chips from Malcolm.
What do you reckon, Beth?
And then you
we
know.
We work in the inner city. And Caxton Street is just a major street for us to get in and out of the city, really. And when we're driving code one, we just need somewhere that'll get us into the city quite quick, and Caxton Street is amazing.
All right, I've got an answer for you. You're going to have a special button and some bollards.
the bollards
like
drop down.
They'll drop down and you can come on through.
That would be great.
That's my pleasure.
Flying ambulance.
Special privileges for our paramedics who do incredible work.
Yes. All right, thank you, team. Thanks for the opinion.
Thank you. See ya.
Beth and Noel are gone, and I do love our first responders,
well,
our paramedics.
You better.
The official paramedic network.
Just be careful. I forgot we were the official paramedics. Why can't they come up Milton Road or Waterworks? Forget Caxton.
They can.
Come on, Beth and Noel.
They can turn right as well down the bus lane.
That's right. They can go straight down Roman Street and be at their response time.
How about we get the temperature check from the public? Mark from Newmarket has called. Hello, Mark.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Yeah, good. There's suggestions that Caxton Street should be shut off to traffic, paved over and made into a thoroughfare for everybody to indulge in. Pedestrian-only thoroughfare. What do you think about this idea?
Love Caxton Street. Been going there for years. But for a lot of people in the northern suburbs and sort of out to the west, the only real way to get into Caxton in an Uber is up Caxton Street, and you get dropped there and you get picked up after the game. So public transport's pretty terrible up that part of the town, and the only other way to get is all the way around. So.
Mark, I'm saying you come up Hale Street, turn left, and there's a little turnaround area just before the Caxton. The Uber lets you out, and you're straight in for an icy cold one.
Yeah, but, I'm just saying, like, when you go up that street, there's a lot of... When you look at the traffic lights, especially on game day, there's about 30 people jumping out of cars. So
Mark doesn't like it, Marlo.
No, he doesn't like it.
He's not listening.
About get dropped further down and walk.
Howard Smith Wharves have this set up. You drive in, they drop you there, then you walk around the joint.
There's and that's their worry. Get rid of that's their
See
worry. Later. Get rid of the car.
Rob
from Albany Creek. I'm not getting a lot of
support. What other businesses would you like to see go in there that people could utilise if it weren't?
I think there's room for another four strip club. Personally.
I think they've already got four in there. It's not enough.
It's not enough.
Rob from Albany Creek.
We could do with another beehive for sure.
What do you think?
I think one of the things that possibly you haven't thought of is when you think about the amount of kegs that get delivered or the food deliveries, you just will not get them, the amount of kegs up.
I think you've overestimated our thinking ability, Rob. We haven't thought of anything.
Have you seen the big drones that they have?
Exactly.
They're delivering.
Drop them in.
Either that or we'll tunnel from 4X across straight to the hotel.
You know, old military style World War One. They used to have mortars where you just, just fire them straight from 4X. Boom.
Rob, I think that answers your question.
Are you happy, Rob?
You went.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Hey, you know we've talked before about Gillon McLachlan, the boss of the AFL.
I know him.
And he says, I'm stepping down, and we figure it'll happen on grand final day, and he'll probably be in the back of convertibles. Thank you, I've done my work. Because he's holding on, he's sorting out the next broadcast deal for the next 5 years, so he'll make the codes, rivers of billions of dollars will flow into the AFL, and he can have a glory lap and all great.
It's his legacy.
All right, so they've got to find a replacement for him. Now, I know that it happens all the time that they get executive headhunters in. $500,000 they're paying the recruitment firm Spencer Stewart. Costs $500,000 to find.
international company or Australian company? Because didn't they say they were going to be looking overseas as well?
They did say that, but that's just to hide the fact that it'll probably be the bloke who's two offices down that gets the job. The people who have applied for the job, people like Richmond Chief Executive Brendan Gale, Travis Auld, who used to run the Suns, but he's now working inside the AFL, Andrew Dillon is an AFL executive already, and Kylie Watson-Wheeler, I like this one, the girl who runs the Western Bulldogs, the president.
She's all head AFL of Disney. People. Because sometimes they like to go out of the scope, you know, like the V8 supercars CEO or chairman will come across and implement the great success.
Yeah, Pete there was he's doing everything else.
He's running races. Why couldn't he do it?
That's what
What a man. What a guy.
Stop the recruitment.
Is he married?
The reason I'm talking... Is Peter Volandis married?
I don't know. Does he? Does he wear a wedding ring?
No. You can.
God,
you don't have a crack.
What a man.
Rugby league.
What a guy.
Let's get back to the executive search for the head of the AFL. So you know how, and I haven't done an interview to get a job for years because I was self-employed, et cetera, and then this tumbled along. But what they do, they get the shortlisted candidates and then they run them through a series of questions. Like you'd expect, what would you do when someone on tour is caught having an affair? Like you go, how would you deal with that?
This is what you get for $500,000.
That's not the level
of questioning here.
They haven't been asking those questions.
No, that's not one. No.
They do that psychometric testing, all that sort of gear.
How would you deal with a cocaine scandal, perhaps?
That's right.
Involving a schoolgirl.
In Bali.
Classic AFLs.
Haven't been asking any of those questions.
None of those questions.
Here's the questions. A couple of questions from the interviews have been leaked. Here's one. You get locked out of your house. What do you do? Think Jesus like the Christ. AFL.
See if
CEO.
There's a window that's open or potentially call a locksmith.
No, but you're not. What about if you were the boss of the AFL, you should be prepared. You should have a key hidden.
Spare key hidden, of course.
Okay.
Call Buddy Franklin, maybe go on a bender for a few days and hope it figures itself out.
Get Ben Cousins and get him to run through a wall.
We're talking.
All right. Listen, here's another question. I don't know where these come from, but are you ready? Here's a question they asked as they were trying to find an AFL CEO. If you were a tree, what sort would you be?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, well, I'd be a fig.
Thinking music, please.
I'd be a fig tree. They're my favourite trees. They're big and they've got big branches and leaves
to keep everybody
shaded.
Great roots. It's a good tree. It's a columnar of water. Is that the right word?
All right. You're close to the job. I would be a lemon tree because what
happens? You're a bit of a lemon.
No, people wee on me and I just turn it into friendly, juicy fruit.
Nectar.
When life pisses on you, turn it into lemons, the old saying.
True.
Yeah, you're a problem solver.
What sort of tree would you be?
A skinny one.
How dare you? I'm literally right
it's like
here.
Like a fig.
What do you think?
I don't know. Well, that's why we're not running the AFL. Well,
what about a pine cone tree? Or bamboo.
Reproduces quickly and puts up a screen.
That's me.
So you can't see
what's
going on.
Just a skinny little reproducer. Sign me up.
You're not getting the job at the AFL.
I don't think
not
with that chat. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. 104.5 Triple M, Marto and Margo with you.
Hey, time to talk real estate as we do most weeks, and we do it with Hazley Cush, who's the principal of Ray White New Farm. Hello, mate.
Morning, Marto. Morning, Margo.
Hazley, we were speaking with Scott Phillips, who's the chief financial officer for our Motley Fools podcast, and he was saying that interest rate rise are set to bring inflation down, but it's going to cost people about a couple of $100 extra in the hip pocket a month. How does that affect our property prices and sales around Brisbane?
It really affects mainly the confidence. As a buyer, we're always hinging on those things that we can hang on to when we're talking to an agent that'll bring the property price down, because as a buyer, we want it in our favour. Interest rates where they sit now, it's probably taking us back. I think it's about 2016 was when the rates were about this level. So it dropped right down, COVID, and then it sort of come back up. I think for Brisbane, we've got a pretty good story. It's going to be a little bit of a short-term question, a little bit of an argument between buyers and sellers. But the big one is rents. You know, it's the big supply-demand chain. So I think you'll see some lotto winners in this market. There's been some big sales take place the last couple of weeks across Brisbane, some records. And then there's been a couple of sales where people have had some good wins and buyers have bought properties quite well.
Hey, can I give you an example? Let's say I'm 32 years of age. I've got a girlfriend or a de facto or whatever. We've got enough for a deposit. We've got $100,000. What would you do right now? Would you hold off and keep saving or would you jump in shortly?
Now, let me just ask you one more question on that matter. Are you a first home buyer? Are you a first home buyer?
Yep, first home buyer. Yep. So we've got a dog.
What kind of dog?
Just little
white terrier.
So we'll have children.
What 32-year-old couple though has $100,000? They don't have the savings, Hazley.
I've got the capacity to get it off mum and dad.
Okay.
So there's a thing that's been released. The government's released it. There's 35,000 places, and it's helping first home buyers do a 5% deposit, no mortgage insurance.
Oh, so that's still going, that scheme?
They've just released another 35,000 places. Right. So for people that haven't saved enough or are worried about, they haven't caught the market, get to a loan broker and get to one of these places. There's 35,000 and they won't sell out.
$800,000 house, 5%. I only need 5%. That's 40 grand. Yeah, that's what
40,
I need.
40 grand.
I mean, more often than not, people are relatively specific about the suburbs and the areas that they want to live in, what sort of house they're looking for. Yeah. These 35,000 homes that are on offer, do they meet the standards and the criteria of what people are looking for, or do they have to live far way out of town in something that's relatively low key?
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm pretty sure the number's 750. It's got to be below 750,000. Can't be above that. So, you know, Marta, for his example at 800, you're right, I missed that. That's probably above the cutoff.
Uh-huh.
But it would apply to apartments, which are inner city as well, if you could get one that'd take your dog. Or it's going to be a little bit further out from the inner city.
Hey, so can I just ask you on my behalf, because I'm interested in Marta's question. We've moved here from the Gold Coast. We're renting again, my wife and I, two kids. We are looking to dip the toe and buy something at some stage.
Yeah.
I know I'm very aware I'm asking a real estate agent here, but should I buy now or should I hold off a couple months, see what interest rates do? Help me, Hazley. You're my only hope.
So, yeah, well, if I'm looking at Brisbane right now, I'm looking at it as, where am I going to put my bet? Because you're betting. You're betting that you're going to buy now and the market's going to go up, or you're going to wait and it's going to go down.
Yeah.
Today's probably the best time you could have bought in the last 3 years. But before the last 3 years, we've gone up 30% since then. So I can't see Brisbane dropping more than maybe 10% off the peak, which was last year, which is still 20% up on 3 years ago. Brisbane is looking like the best value it's looked in 3 years, and I can't see us going further down.
Thanks, Hazley. Good tip, mate. We love talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Right. Have a good day.
Cheers, Haze.
Enjoy your yoga this morning,
mate. Enjoy your yoga.
Downward dog, Hazley.
Don't let the secret out.
Good on you, Hazley. Hazley Cush there, Principal Ray White, New Farm. We hope that's helped you out with a property tip or two. It's Triple M, Mutto and Margo.
Mutto and Margo on Triple M Breakfast.
I was driving, where was I yesterday? Chermside, along Gympie Road, near Hamilton Road. Waterbed shop. Ages ago, you were talking about, does anyone still have a waterbed?
I saw a waterbed repairs truck.
Really?
Oh, I'm driving down the highway and I was like, who still uses a waterbed?
I can remember my sister, like she's 4 years older than me, when she cracked on to her boyfriend, now married forever and ever. But they had a waterbed and I jumped in.
My parents had a waterbed.
Your parents had a waterbed?
Yeah, I'm talking like late 80s, early 90s.
Did you ever jump on them though?
Yes.
They were the hardest. They were easy to get onto, but hard to get out of.
You do
hard to get off.
Do like, your back getting out.
You'd have to roll out of it.
You could
to get out.
My mate Alex in primary school, his parents had a waterbed. This would have been early 90s too, Margo. Yeah. And it burst once, so it sprung a leak and it was on the second floor. And
does lots of water come out?
So much. They were out of the house. Yeah. And so it burst along a seam and it soaked. So they came home, lower level flooded. Yeah. What do you think straight away? Pipe, right?
Nothing. Hose, dishwasher, sink.
No. They went upstairs, a waterbed was empty. And it's not actual water. Well, 13353.
What do you mean it's not water?
They can tell us what's in there. It's, as far as I'm aware, it's some sort of fluid.
Hold on.
It's water with something added to it.
Someone ring us straight away. Oh, sorry, maybe no one has a waterbed. Well, there has to be. If there's a waterbed repair van and there's a waterbed
shop. It means
there's
still supply and demand.
Someone somewhere 13353. Sleeping.
But remember they used to come with a patch kit. You know, and if it got like a little hole or something, it would pierce and it would spray out. Yeah, and you used to like glue and patch it.
What, are they good for you?
Were they heated too, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Because that'd be pretty cold to lay on.
Could you imagine being mid-session?
What is it called? A glove? Is it the bed?
What's that?
The mat, like the skin? Is it called a skin or
bladder.
A glove?
Bladder. The bladder inside the skin, because the skin's what you sleep on.
Here's somebody. Dave. Dave from Carbrook. Oh, we love Dave from Carbrook. How are you, mate?
Good, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we don't know anything about waterbeds.
Yeah, tell us.
They are definitely filled with water.
Just regular water, Dave? Yeah. You don't add anything to it?
Just regular water straight out of your tap.
How do you fill it, though, Dave?
They had Just with a hose up through the window.
So you go hose up through the window.
But Dave, have you still got one now?
No, no, God, no.
What was it good for? Did it help your back?
Was it good for your back? Yeah.
It's good for your back as long as the heater works. If the heater stops, you end up sleeping on cold water. Ooh. And if it stops during the night, you'll end up cold water and you wake up and you cannot move.
Water and electricity, Dave. Dave, you're a sensible
really
man.
Yeah, no, it's really good, eh? It's really well.
See, Dave, this is why you need that additive I was talking about. It's like radiators then. You put a little additive, uh-huh. Keeps the water warmer, you know.
All right. Dave, you'll be glad to know there seems to be a number of other people. We wanted to test, is anyone still using a water bed?
Well, I want to know because it was a thing of the past, right? Yeah. 80s, 90s. Mm. It surely faded out by then, late 90s.
Why is there a waterbed repair truck?
Who is still using a waterbed and why?
I want to know if anyone has sprung a leak during a session, just one little fountain's come out and they've had to make the decision, do we stop or do I just put a finger up there and just cover the little leak we've sprung?
You sleep and you turn over the other side. Does it take a while for the water to settle down?
And how did waterbeds become a thing? Like who thought of that? Was it a network marketing chain where they just... You know, like Tupperware or Thermomix, where they went, we've got this product, we're just going to sell the shit out of it until no one wants to buy it anymore.
What about someone had a Lilo on the pool and went, this would make
a great
perfect bed?
It's marketing, isn't it, for sure? Sleep on water. We're 70% water. Just add more to your life.
Amazing.
Oh, my God.
I want a waterbed now.
Oh, see, the marketing works.
Mm. Chris from Narangba. I had one for 10 years and only got rid of it when I fell pregnant and couldn't get out of the thing. It felt like I was going to drown.
Course. What about Kerry from Forest Lake? Yeah. She's just replaced one after 20 years and got a new one. Loves it.
Every line is full.
Daz from Crestmead. We can't put everyone through. We'll read out some of these. Had one in his bachelor pad.
That's dangerous because your mates will mess with you. Surely they'll prick
Steve
it with a pin.
Steve from Greenbank had one up until 1998. This put a solution in there to make sure it didn't get algae.
There you go. I just remember when we smelt the water from my mate's parents' waterbed and it was definitely not water. There was something in it.
What about Lee? She's had one. He's had one all his life and still has it. Struggles to sleep on anything else.
Craig got rid of his after his fourth child.
Oh, Paul.
What, it was too productive.
Easier to get a vasectomy.
Paul. Too productive in the waterbed.
Paul from Cedarfowl, 133353. Waterbed's going off in the suburbs. Have you got one?
Yeah, I've got one. No, I haven't got one now. My wife had one in 75. I bought a king-size waterbed. It was great. And in 2010, when we moved out to Cedarfowl, my wife decided she wanted the Rolls-Royce of mattresses. Yeah. And so she talked me into getting a mattress for the king-size waterbed, and the bladder went, and I haven't had a bloody good night's sleep since.
So 35 years, you were rocking a waterbed.
Ah, they're awesome.
They're awesome.
Yeah. I have a guess. When was the first form of waterbed invented?
Well, I was going to say, how did you get onto the waterbed, Paul? Like, when and how did it become a thing?
Don't know. I think one of my friends had one, and he said, you got to get one of these things. They're great.
Tell everyone who's missing out, what was the good bit about it? Is it the lying on it? Is it the back when you get up in the morning?
Well, in summertime, you can turn the heater down a little bit, and it's nice and cool, so you have a good night's sleep. And in wintertime, you just turn the heater up a little bit, and she's nice and warm.
What does the heater do? Does the water exit and then re-enter, goes through a heater, then re-enters the bladder?
No, there's a... There's a heater mat that goes underneath the bladder.
It's safe.
Okay.
It's safe. Yeah. It's all sealed and everything. Yeah.
Was there a special technique to get out of the waterbed? Like, I could imagine it'd be relatively rocky.
You've got to be a good roller.
Yeah, got to roll.
Tell you what, a cool mattress in summer, though. There's something about that.
Is electric blankets still a thing?
Yeah, but
I believe so.
You can get cooled mattresses and stuff. Hey, 1833, the first version of a waterbed, but as we know it, 1968, the waterbed as we know it.
In the modern era.
Big in the 70s.
Paul from Cedarvale.
We're out of time.
Maybe just text us through what you wanted to say, 0484101045. A lot of waterbeds still popular.
Neil from Burbangary, he's still sleeping in one after 50 years.
Wow.
Incredible.
That's a big sleep.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Lot to talk to this bloke about. Lions v Carlton, 3:20 bounce, Sunday at the Gabba. The Gabbatoire versus Carlton, all in with the Lions for 2022. Be there for the mud, sweat and the cheers. Jared Berry, welcome to the show. Good morning, mate.
Morning. Thank you very much for having me on.
Right. Sing it, Jared.
What the winning score?
Jared's left
didn't
us to
hear it last weekend. Jared, let's fifth against seventh this weekend after that loss last weekend. What's been all the chat this week to try to get back into the winning groove?
We want to sing that song at the end of the end of the summer. So we've had a good review and boys have been good on the track.
Who did we blame? Who was the finger pointed?
We should
at?
Let people know that Jared, not well, to trigger well. Anyone. Yeah, you played.
Was
well,
his fault?
It was a 42-point lead at one stage against the Tigers.
It was horrendous.
Gave up, Jared. I was crying on my couch in my vintage Lions jersey, mate,
which he's still wearing.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, they were very good in that aspect. They, I guess, found out how we were playing a little bit in the second half, and we're able to cut off a lot of our ball use and made us kick long down the line, which suited them. And that's something we learn to combat and take forward in the final. So,
Jared, there was a lot of talk about the hoodoo of the MCG. Haven't won down there for like forever,
8 years.
So who's someone tried to dismiss it and said,
"Oh, Chris Fagan, Chris the coach Fagan, said, I don't sorry. Believe in a hoodoo." Then he went on to describe a hoodoo.
Yeah, he said, "There's no hoodoo. We don't believe in a hoodoo. We just conveniently have never won a game down there for 9 years."
That's a hoodoo,
Jared. What is it about the MCG? Do you think that just hasn't had great success rate for you?
I don't think it's anything particular. It's just we always face very good opposition there. I don't think we've ever played a team that, you know, hasn't really been going well at the MCG because they're normally big games. And, we just haven't been able to, I guess, win there. And it's not the fact that it's the MCG. It's just our opposition. And, I guess we're going to do it at some point. And,
no hoodoo.
Jared.
Next time we get the opportunity, we'll be certainly trying.
We were just talking about that rumour that Buddy Franklin wants to come to Brisbane. Have you guys stand around, you have a bit of downtime to talk about these sort of things. You'll have another left footy. You got Hipwood, you got Danaher, now you'll have Buddy Franklin. Too many lefties. Let's just say Buddy comes. What do you do with all those left footers?
Yeah, I was talking to the boys on text last night. We reckon we just line them all up on the right side of the ground and just...
He can't miss.
And just kick it long.
That's a great.
What's the advantage or disadvantage of being left-footed? Does it count, matter, Jared?
Oh, I think you get style points. That's yeah. It.
Hey, listen. I've always heard good things about Buddy from his Swans teammates and stuff. That'd be super if he came. If it was only for 1 year. Remember Hodgie when he came and he sort of coached and played. It'd be a style like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it definitely would be pretty special. Like you grow up watching these guys and. Even Hodgie being able to play with him was one of my highlights of my career. So, it'd be awesome if Buddy came. I just wish he kicked that 1,000th goal when he was up here.
Oh, yeah, very big night.
He just knocked it on the head last
This
season.
Game's this weekend v Carlton. How as important is it to win this one for our top four hopes?
Yeah, it certainly is. And I guess that's the end result that we want, but we've really focused on the process and how we get there. We're going to be, I guess, focusing on that and making sure Carlton are in some good form. They obviously had a bad game last week, but, they'll be...
And they're desperate.
They'll be playing for their top eight spot. So. Yeah.
Fifth versus seventh. It's going to be a ripper Sunday afternoon. Thanks, Jared.
Good on you, Jared. Go well, son.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, JB.
Jared Berry there.
JB. Hold on, we're going to stop the show.
Hang on now.
Jared Berry, has anyone ever called you JB before?
Yes, I get that quite a bit at the
See,
club.
And we know that. I follow him on Instagram. JB, follow me back.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast. Flock of 80s Friday, 104.5 Triple M. It's also Funky Shirt Friday. Make sure you get it on. Start a conversation about mental health. We've all got our funky shirts on here in the studio.
It's time.
You want me to play it?
Oh. No, I don't. Yep, let it go. Not today. It's not the day for... We were supposed to do a Broncos wrap-up, but no one really wants to know.
34-16.
Did we just put them down?
Yeah. No, the Broncos went down.
When they were
24-4, just after halftime, went, that's enough. And it finished 34-16, and you want to know, where's the game won, Margo? Where's the game won?
Up front, Marto.
Up front. So true. You are so well-trained.
You've trained me well.
Joe Rea Hargraves and Matt Lodge put us to the sword. They made us look foolish without Pat Carrigan. What else happened? We just, Kurt Capel's missed a few. No, I don't want to go through it anymore because, you know, for me, it all went downhill. Wally threw to Darren Lockyer, and I think he was about to do a poo or he was mid-poo when it went down like this.
Live to Darren Lockyer at the SCG. And Lockie, the Broncos won't be short of motivation for this one.
No, that's right, Walt.
Yeah, just, just doesn't it always sound? Every time Darren Lockyer speaks, you think he's going to do a poo. That's the Broncos wrap-up.